Well, it's good to have everybody tonight. Let's all stand together and turn to page number 119. Page 119, till the storm passes by.
In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry, keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. On the second verse. Many times Satan whispers, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storm ever darkens the skies. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. On the last verse. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
Amen. The Bible teaches us that we are in the hand of Almighty God, and no one can pluck us out of his hand. Then the Bible teaches us that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And then the Bible teaches us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the anchor of our soul. We cannot drift away, and we cannot get too far away from God with Jesus as our Savior. What a great song. Thank you for singing so well tonight. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless this meeting. Brother Tommy, would you come and lead us in prayer, please?
Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, we're so thankful for your presence we feel tonight, God. We're so thankful, Lord, for your mercy on our soul, for saving us, Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you for everything. Thank you for the church, the people of the church. Thank you for our pastor. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you be with each and every one of us tonight. Help us, Lord, to obey you and follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. I'd like you to get your Bible and turn with me to the book of Psalms. I want to read the entire psalm to you. You know, there are certain places in the scripture you should be familiar with, and this is one of them. It's so powerful, so helpful. Psalm 103 is one of my favorite psalms, and it's such an encouragement to me. And it has been such an encouragement to so many people I've shared it with. I hope that you'll just mark it down in the back of your mind that Psalm 103 is a place you need to run to often. The scripture says, bless the Lord, Oh, my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. I love this. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Aren't you glad? Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. The wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord all, ye his host, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You know why it's so important that we praise the Lord? Do you know why it's so important that you worship the Lord and praise him for his goodness? Because that's where the Lord meets you. The Bible says he inhabits the praise of his people. Johnny Pope said it this way, and it stuck a long time ago, many, many years ago. He says, the home address of God is where people are praising him. Sometimes the Lord feels like he's a million miles away because we're not worshiping him, we're not praising him. Let's continue to be faithful in our worship of the Lord. I want to share with you just a few requests that I've received today. Daniel Mullins called and said he was having some shoulder and arm pain. Donnie Hunter's had surgery this week and looking at another one very soon. David and Tabitha are both sick, and Tabitha's been sick for almost a week now. She's asking that we pray for her. Billy Edmonds, this is Sandy's brother. He fell and broke his hip. He was in terrible physical shape as well. And so let's just pray for him and pray for Sandy. And this is very difficult for her as well, and Michael. Pray for Sarah Ham. She's still at home recovering. I spoke with her today. She's doing well, but we're asking that the Lord would continue to bless and help her. And then let's pray for Sharon O'Dell. She's not feeling well, and she's been in and out of the hospital, and let's just pray that God would touch her and help her. Now, I've asked everyone to sign up on the prayer sheet out in the back. It's on the wall. It's taped on the wall. You might not see it if you just glance around the table. And there's a specific purpose for this. As far as I know, our church has never had a 24-hour prayer meeting. I want to make this the first of many, and one that is a tremendous blessing to our church. And we'll pray from noon on Friday the 6th until noon on Saturday the 8th, 1 hour time slots. So I want to encourage you, if you've not signed up, to make sure before you leave tonight to do that. I've already spoke with Dave, and he had the same plan as I did, and that is we were going to get some of those difficult hours if no one else wanted them. We'll come in the middle of the night, isn't that right? And we'll knock those out. But if you can be part of that, I promise you the Lord will bless you for that. The Lord's going to bless. How many of you believe the Lord will bless our church if we have a 24-hour prayer meeting? Would you say amen? I believe that he will, and we'll have the prayer sheets ready and have plenty of things that you can speak to the Lord about, and it'll be such a blessing. Saturday, that same Saturday, March the 7th, they're having a youth rally at Mountain State Baptist Church. Brother Sean and Sean Golden has agreed to take the bus, and we want to fill that up. If you would like to go and be part of that youth rally, it's always an encouragement. You don't have to be a teenager to go. You'll feel like a teenager if you do go, but we want all the teenagers to be part of that, and that's March the 7th. We'll leave somewhere around 1 o'clock. And then the spring revival is March the 8th through the 10th. I do pray that you will be seeking the Lord for Brother Cox and for Brother Young, that God would use them in a mighty way. Pray that God would use them to encourage me and help me. And please do pray for me that God would send revival in my own life. And that's what I'm asking for. The choir is going to sing one of my favorite songs. It's one that Brother Byron Fox has written, Safely Home.
Let's all stand together and turn to page 173. Page 173, Love Lifted Me. Let's sing this together and we'll shake hands.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Else could help, love lifted me.
Let's shake hands for a little bit. Thank you. All righty, page 173 on the last verse. Let's look at this together. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows His will obey. He your Savior wants to be. Be saved today. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm sure you're wore out by now doing all those aerobics. Let's ask the ushers to come at this time. Men, if you'll come. I'm excited about what is happening downstairs. If you have not had the chance to look in Brother Cochran's old office, please make it a point to go down there and check it out. We're this close to being finished, but you'll see what we've been able to accomplish, and it's a blessing. I'm very thankful to be part of that, and I want you to continue to pray the Lord would allow us to do many more things. Let me say something about the choir just quickly. Did you know that tonight was the most that we've ever had in our choir? Am I saying that right, Dave? Where'd Dave go? Am I right? The most ever? Is that right? At least in the most recent history, right? They actually were sharing chairs in the back, so that's exciting. And I looked back there and I said, oh boy, I'm outnumbered. outnumbered with a good group. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless the offering. The choir sure was such a blessing to me. That was an encouragement. Caleb, would you pray and ask the offering, blessing on the offering, please? That beautiful. I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'll continue in the message that we began this morning. I hope that was an encouragement to you. Let's pray for these men, Jacob, Sean, and David, going to sing another great song. It was finished on the cross.
Stood as captive slaves, the bonds of sin.
of death, were swallowed up by righteousness, vanquished by the Son of God. It was finished on the cross. It was finished on the cross. And we rejoice in victory. We lift our eyes to Calvary. Before the battle has begun, by Jesus' blood it has been won. It was finished on the cross. It was finished on the cross.
And while our hearts have turned from sin, this flesh is waging war within. Though sin remains, our guilt is gone. It was finished on the cross. It was finished on the cross. His gift of grace our heart betrays, with urge to merit or repay. We need not live to pay the cost. It was finished on the cross.
It was finished on the cross. And we rejoice in victory. We lift our eyes to Calvary. Before the battle has begun, by Jesus' blood it has been won. It was finished on the cross. It was finished on the
If you'll take your Bible, look with me in the book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. And I thank the Lord that it was finished on the cross. I'm glad that salvation doesn't have anything to do with me. I would mess up. I've messed up in everything in this life. And if me getting to heaven depended upon me, I'd fall flat on my face. I'm glad that we can count on our Savior, the Lord Jesus. I'm glad that we can have confidence in Him. 2 Peter chapter 3, let's begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Peter says in verse 1, these same two words that we've been looking at for the last four messages, stir up. In this particular occasion, we mentioned this morning that it's a different idea. It's a different mindset. Behind our two English words, stir up, is a different Greek word. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul used a word that has a root of fire in it. It has the idea or the mindset that a fire that needs to be kindled. Peter doesn't use a word that's even anywhere remotely close to that. When we look at these two English words, the word stirred up in 2 Peter, he uses a word that has to do with the fact that we're sleeping, that we need to be aroused, that we need to rise up. And there's a different meaning here. In 2 Timothy, I hope that you have written down that God does something very specific to stir us up. God uses a very specific tool. I want to mention again how excited I was to see the enthusiasm and the excitement of the congregation when I spoke about the fact that we needed to be stirred up, and we do need to be stirred up, amen? But there was a stirring that took place even before I gave the Bible tool that God uses to stir us up. In 2 Timothy, you'll find that God uses the tool of remembrance to stir us up. I want you to see it's slightly different here in 2 Peter, even though the word remembrance is mentioned. I want you to see that there's something that goes along with this remembrance. Notice what the Bible says in verse 1, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, both which I stir up," and then notice what he says, "your pure minds by way of remembrance." And then in verse 2, there's a phrase that ties back to that ye may be, look what the Bible says, mindful of the words. And then in the past tense, which were spoken before by the holy prophets. And then the Bible says, and of the commandments of us apostles of the Lord and Savior. When Peter shares with us his thought and exposes to us the need of being stirred up, he adds in there the thought that we need to be awakened with the truth. When you see this phrase, pure minds, it indicates, it teaches us something very specific. It reveals to us that these believers already had the truth inside of them. It was just dormant. Deep down inside of them, they knew what to do. They knew how to behave, but they were sleeping. And that's the idea that Peter's trying to get across to us as we read the scripture, that this truth was not rejected in any way, shape, or form. It wasn't denied. It just needed to be stirred up. This morning, I gave you what happens when we are not stirred up, when we do not stir our pure minds up, when that truth settles in our life, when we have the Word of God invested into our lives and we do nothing with it, then the Lord becomes involved. And the Lord begins to stir us up. Remember, when I spoke about the fire from the book of Leviticus, that it was our responsibility to stay stirred up. Do you remember that? Remember I mentioned that the fire went with them everywhere that they went? And remember I said that it was our duty, our responsibility to keep that fire that God has given within us stirred up? What I want you to see here is that God is involved now in our stirring. God is working in our stirring, and he does that because we refuse to be stirred. So he steps in. This morning I shared with you from the book of Ezra, and I hope that you have the reference written down, Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. We find that God used a pagan king by the name of Cyrus. God stirred him up. I hope that you'll go back and mark those phrases. We've read about those on Wednesday nights, and I specifically skipped over that thought there, that not only was Cyrus stirred up, but Judah and Benjamin were also stirred up. And for what purpose? To rebuild the temple. Was that something that just immediately God asked them to do? No, they were neglecting the word of God. God had given them order through Jeremiah and Isaiah that the temple was to be rebuilt. But they were not being involved in this work of rebuilding the temple. So here's what they were doing. They were neglecting the word of God. So here's what happens. God stirs us, and I hope that you'll write this down. God stirs us when we neglect his word. Would you believe me if I told you that God will bring problems into your life? God will bring difficulties into your life? God will bring so many terrible things into your life that you must turn to his word. Now, he doesn't want to do that. But as a matter of fact, we can look at it this way. I mentioned this morning, I've been reading through the book of Deuteronomy, and Canaan, the promised land, was a place that was made. It was specifically designed for the children of Israel so that they could not live independently. They could not live in Canaan land without God's help. So the point that I want you to receive this evening from this morning's message is this. You say, Brother Fred, I'm going through a very difficult time. There is a very difficult struggle that I'm involved in my life. And all of us go through difficult times, don't we? God will very specifically allow those times of trouble. God will specifically allow that heartache to come into our life when we neglect his word. Because it is his word that sustains us. It is His Word that keeps us. So I hope that you see that point. Now I want to share with you another thought this evening, and I hope that's an encouragement to you as well. I would like for you to pray, and I would like for you to ask God to use His Word to speak to your heart tonight. Remember, when you come to church, it's not just a physical part. It's not just you being here physically. It's not just getting dressed. It's not just driving here. There's a spiritual work that takes place when we're here. And I'm asking you that you will pray and ask that God speak to your heart tonight and do a spiritual work deep down inside. I'm also praying that you will ask that the Lord would speak to my heart as well and to help me. Father in heaven, Lord, we bow before you again, and we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to have you and hold your word. Lord, what an encouragement it is to know that we possess the word of God so that we might know your will, your plan, and your purpose for our life. God, we're so grateful and thankful that you have desired to speak to us and give us your word so that we might obey you and do what you would have for us to do with our lives. God, I ask tonight that you would stir us up when we neglect your word, Lord. Father, I pray that you would just help me, stir me up, Lord, when I neglect your word. And Lord, tonight I just ask that you would speak to every heart. I pray that you would manifest yourself unto us. Lord, we know that you never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, we trust by faith that you are here, right here with us right now, guiding us and directing us. We believe that by faith. And Lord, we certainly know that when we draw nigh to you, that you draw nigh to us. So today I pray that you'd help us to sense your spirit, sense your wooing and your moving, your working in our life. God, help us to be obedient to you now. And I ask all this now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now, for us to see this next thought that I want you to wrap your mind around, that is a springboard from 2 Peter chapter 3, I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 17. God uses a second tool to stir us. Not only does God stir us when his word is neglected, God also stirs us when his work is neglected. In the book of Acts, I want you to look with me in Acts chapter 17. This is a very powerful scripture. The Apostle Paul is working and moving on the mission field. God has his hand on the Apostle Paul, and God is using him in a mighty way. And he comes to a situation where he is stirred by God. I want to read you the story. Let's begin in verse 10, Acts chapter 17 and verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went to the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed. Isn't that just interesting how God ties those two things together? Also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Saul at Berea, they came thither also. And I want you to mark this down here, verse 13. And stirred up the people. Do you see it? And stirred up the people. Then the Bible says in verse 14, and then immediately the brethren went away, Paul to go as it were to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now verse 16 is the key. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, would you mark this in your Bible? His spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Oh, we are observing something in the scripture where not only are the people stirred, but God stirs his man. Why? Because the work of God was being neglected. Souls were not being saved. Souls had been neglected. We find that in this story, and if you want to read the whole thing, it's a very interesting story. There was a city full of people. And I want to say for every believer, anytime you see a group of people, it should stir your heart. Why? We should be asking ourselves, do those people know Jesus Christ as their Savior? Is there times when you walk in public and you ask yourself, I wonder if that person is saved? Is there a time when you walk into the mall or something similar to that, or maybe into a large gathering and you just wonder, I wonder how many Bible believers are in this room? I wonder how many people know Jesus Christ as their Savior? You know, there's something that every Christian should be challenged by, and that's people. The Lord told us to look into the fields. They were white already to harvest. There shouldn't be a person that's saved, that knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, that is not stirred when they see the people. And I want you to see that Paul, when he was in this city, he saw much people there. And these people did not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it stirred his heart. Another thing that stirred him was the fact that they dishonored him. If you look at this, if you'll look in verse 16, the Bible says, when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry, these people dishonored the Lord. You know, it's a bad thing when we live in a society and nothing ever bothers the believer. Do you know, you ought to really, really check your relationship. Your fellowship with Jesus Christ. If you can hear certain words and it not bother you. If you can hear the name of God blasphemed and it doesn't bother you. If you can see immodesty and indecency and it doesn't bother you, it ought to stir you. When people are so confused and have no idea what it means to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and literally they believe something very sincerely, but they have no idea what it means to be saved, it should stir you. We find that God stirred Paul because his work was being neglected. Not only that, we find that there was a culture here that was saturated and celebrating idolatry. They were worshiping everything but God. Yes, they had a statue or an idol for him, but it was the unknown God. And Paul took advantage of the opportunity and began to preach to him, preach to this city, who it was. Boy, oh boy, as God's children, I want to encourage you tonight, don't allow the work of God to be neglected in your own life. These people were deceived. They did not understand. They did not know the truth. They did not know how to follow the Lord. And Paul was stirred by that. Let me give you just a few ways you know that you're needing stirred. The first one is this: when the Great Commission no longer burdens you or bothers you. When you hear preaching about soul winning, and when you hear people talk about the lost and the dying, and it's just, yeah, whatever. Or, it just has no significant bearing in your life, it ought to burden you. And I'm telling you, when you hear preaching on the Great Commission and it doesn't burden you any longer, you need to be stirred. It's time to be stirred. We're neglecting the work of God. When a preacher talks about soul winning or handing out gospel tracts or presenting the gospel or telling other people about Christ and it doesn't have any effect on you whatsoever, it's time to be stirred. It's time to be stirred when the truth of the gospel has just grown routine. It's time to be stirred when it's just a church service, when it's just a Sunday school class, when it's just getting out of bed and getting dressed to come to church. It ought to stir you to say, hey, I'm going to meet with God. I'm going to speak with God himself. It's very important that we are stirred when it comes to the work of the Lord. There's a second thing that I'd like to share with you tonight. And I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. There was another thing that Peter spoke about. We've looked at 2 Peter chapter 3. But I want you to look with me at 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse 13. Here we see again, these people had the truth. The truth was deep inside of them. But the truth needed to be stirred inside of them. In 2 Peter chapter 1, let's begin reading in verse number 13. The Bible says, yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle. Would you mark this? To stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. I want you to mark something, not only in verse 13 where Peter says to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, but I want you to notice what he attaches with the thought. In verse 14, he says, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. Here's my third point. My third point is this, is God stirs us when we have no personal walk with him. When his word is neglected, when his work is neglected, and when we have no walk with him. Dear friend, it's one thing to be saved, but it's something completely different to have a personal walk with Jesus Christ. You know, just as important as it is for you to be saved and on your way to heaven, it is equally as important for you to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. To be honest about it, the Christian life is just that. The Christian life is when we are able to have a personal relationship with Christ. And God stirs us up when there's no walk. As a matter of fact, you cannot live the Christian life and you cannot go living the Christian life without being stirred with the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. He will convict you. He will deal with your heart. He will speak to you. He will help you. He will encourage you. He will convict you and move you along. When we look at 2 Peter chapter 1, this stirring up implies something a little bit different. It implies they were undisturbed and the truth that was in them was unused. Would you look again at the text? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. As long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Putting you in remembrance. They had the truth, but it was something that didn't affect them. They were undisturbed by the truth. Two times in verse 1, the first one is in verse 13. And the second one is in verse 14, you'll find the word tabernacle. Would you mark that? The word tabernacle. By now you should know and understand what a tabernacle is. A tabernacle is a moving tent. It was not like the temple. The tabernacle is something that was able to be picked up and to be moved. So I guess here's the best word to use for the word tabernacle. It was temporary. It wasn't something that God designed to be set up and to be made a permanent fixture. It was something that God designed to be moved often and frequently. It was a tabernacle, a tent. So God allowed Peter to give us this picture. There's a reason why I bring it to your attention. Because if you're going to be stirred in your walk with the Lord, you better get busy. You better be moving quick. Peter was teaching us that if we're going to be stirred in our tabernacle, then we only have a short time to be stirred. I want to share with you just some few verses to remind you in the scripture, and then I've got one more point for tonight. I hope it'll be an encouragement. In James chapter 4 and verse 14, James says it this way, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Dear friends, you've got just a short period of time, just a short window of time to stir up the truth that is inside of you. And then the Bible says in John chapter 9 and verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. And then we have the truth that the night cometh where no man can work. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, Solomon said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom where? In the grave whither thou goest. Did you know that death is 100% for everyone? All of us are going to die. We're all on our way to the grave. And before we get there, it is God's plan. Peter is teaching us. It is God's plan for us to be disturbed. You guys, just ignore the little guy back here in the back. I don't know who his papa is. I have no idea. Look with me. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We have such a short time, such a short window of time to have a walk with Jesus Christ. Now I've saved the most important one for last, and this is the one that I feel like that the Lord has dealt with my heart in the greatest way, and I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. Again, I mentioned to you that I'm reading in the book of Deuteronomy, and I'm studying each chapter, and I'm attempting to do something for the Lord as I study through the book of Deuteronomy, and something came across the pages of the Word of God as I was reading, and it just jumped off the page at me. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, and I want to begin reading in verse 16. So far what I've shared with you, we need to be stirred up by revived truth. That's this tool that God is using that we found in 2 Peter chapter 3. And God stirs us when His Word is neglected. God stirs us when His work is neglected. God stirs us when our walk is neglected. We have such a short window of time to walk with the Lord. Here's the last one. God stirs us when there is a work done inside of our heart. And the bottom line, this is what we need. Dear church, this is what I'm praying for. Dear church, this is what I'm asking for. That God would do a work in my heart that only He can do. I'm praying that God would do a work in our heart that only He can do. Because truly we need to be stirred. We need to be stirred for the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 16, you're going to find one of the most radical statements that's found in the entire Bible. Let me ask you something before we read it. Has it ever just caught you off guard when the Lord says something like this, "If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out"? Has the scripture ever just like really taken you off guard when the Lord says something like, "If you don't hate your mother and your father and your brother and your sister, some statement like that from the Lord Jesus that just like seems, well, Lord, that's impossible." This is one of those statements. The Lord never intended for us to pluck our eye out or to tie a millstone around our neck and be cast into the midst of the sea. The Lord is using strong language to grab our attention. And I want you to see some of the strongest language that you will ever find in the scriptures found in verse 16. The Bible says, "Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked." Think about the wording there. Think about how God pictures a work that He does inside of our heart. God does a work so deeply in our heart that God pictures it as if we are being circumcised in our heart. I want you to look with me at chapter 30 and verse number 6. Chapter 30 and verse number 6. Tie these two verses together, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul that thou mayest live for our benefit, for our pleasure, for our help." God says that He's going to circumcise our heart. Would you turn with me to the book of Jeremiah? Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4. And I want you to look with me at verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 4. I'm giving you a moment to turn in these pages in your Bible because I feel like they're so important. Because I feel like they're so essential for the Christian life. In Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 4, Jeremiah says, "Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. Ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings." God repeatedly mentions to us that our hearts are to be circumcised. Now, one last place, I want you to turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 2, and I want you to see that Paul completes this statement. Romans chapter 2, and he finishes the thought. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 28 is where we'll begin reading. Paul reflects back on what Moses said in the book of Deuteronomy, and Paul reflects back on what Jeremiah said in chapter 4, and he finishes it. He finishes this greatest work so that we might be stirred. Dear friend, I know you're in Romans now, but would you look this way for just a moment? Of all the things that we can do as an individual or as a body of believers, this is the one area that God insists that we be changed. This is the one area where God insists that we be stirred. It is one thing when our ear gate and our eye gate affects our soul, our will, intellect, and emotion, and we desire to move forward for the cause of Christ, but it is something completely different when the Spirit of God does a work deep inside, a very precise surgery that only God can do to stir us. Now, here's the problem. Most of the time, we're not willing to take that surgery. Have you ever been around someone, a family member, a friend, and they know that they have a life-threatening situation, and the doctors told them that we need to do this surgery, and if you don't do this surgery, it's almost certain death? How many of you have ever heard that scenario? I have several times. The doctor says, look, if we don't operate, you're going to die. And whether it be a man or a woman, they look at the doctor and say, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. No, thank you. And then everybody just does this. Oh, why in the world not? This could save your life. This could spare you chastisement. This could spare the judgment of God. This could take away the pain and the heartache of life. This could stir you to the point where you could be effective for the cause of Christ. This one issue, if you would just allow the great physician to do the surgery, your life would be changed forevermore. Paul tells us what it is. Romans chapter 2, would you look with me at verse 28? The Bible says, For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart. I'm sorry, I skipped the wrong, went to the wrong verse. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. Now you remember that the Jewish people practiced circumcision. And they practiced circumcision 8 days after a baby was born. And it literally identified them with the nation of Israel. It identified them with the Davidic covenant. It identified them as being a Jew, God's chosen people. This outward sign of circumcision. Paul says, hold on just a minute. Would you look at the verse again? Brother Jim, this time I'm not changing the scripture. This is actually what the scripture says. For he is not, would you mark that word? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither, would you mark the word neither? It's a negative word, just like the word not. Is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh? In other words, if you are counting on your circumcision as a Jew to be one of God's chosen people, he says, wait a minute, it's insufficient. This outward sign of circumcision is not enough. Then I want you to look at the next verse. But he is a Jew, this is positive now, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Do you see where we're really stirred? I'm praying that God would hide me. I know that you see me. But I'm praying that God would help you to see his plan of salvation. I'm praying that you would look beyond my expressions, my mistakes, my failures, my stumbling of my words. I'm praying that you would look beyond me. And I'm wanting you to see what God says is really required for you to be stirred up for his work. Something has to happen on the inside. This assembly is so important. I wouldn't minimize it at all. But this assembly pales in comparison when it comes to importance as what you are on the inside. You may look like a Christian. You may have all the Christian cliches down. You may sound like a Christian. You may do things that Christian people do. But here's what God's interested in. God is interested in seeing your heart circumcised. A work done deep down inside of you where there is a legitimate, where there is a genuine, where there is a sincere fellowship, a personal relationship between you and Almighty God. I want you to listen tonight. God stirs us when a work is done in our heart. I want you to understand that there is no problem that you will face in this life that cannot be fixed inside your heart. There's no difficulty that cannot be overcome. There's no challenge in this life that we cannot be victorious if we will allow God to circumcise our heart. No lights, no smoke, no fog, no mirrors, no screaming, no shouting. The bottom line is this: all that matters as far as being a real Christian is not how often you come to this meeting, but who you are in the privacy of your home, when you're at work, how you treat your family, what time you spend in God's Word, how often you seek God in prayer. Do you know everything else is just playing games? Everything else is just superficial. Everything else really doesn't even matter. Dear friend, until we allow God to stir us in our heart and we get real about being a Christian, attending church has very little to do with being a Christian. Being faithful to church has very little to do with being a Christian. Being a Christian is what you do in the privacy of your own life, what you do with Jesus Christ. God wants the outside to be right. That's why he gave circumcision. But he didn't stop there. God wanted the inward fixed as much as he did the outward. Dear friend, you can get the outward fixed and everybody in the world be deceived, thinking you're the best Christian that's ever lived. But what matters to God is who you are in the secret places of your life. It's all that matters. God stirs us when a work is done in our heart, and that's what I'm praying for. Would you stand with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many of you say, Brother Fred, I recognize the Lord needs to do surgery on my heart. I need to be circumcised deep inside my heart. God needs to do a spiritual work deep inside of me. The outside is already right. But boy, oh boy, God needs to do a spiritual work on the inside of me. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand and take it back down? God bless you. Folks, here's what we need to do. We need to do a serious business with God. And we need to work diligently on a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The invitation's open. There's no piano music right now. just quietly, would you come and ask the Lord to circumcise your heart? Would you come and ask the Lord, allow the Holy Spirit of God to do a work that only He can do on the inside? God bless you. Cry out to God. Cry out for His mercy. Cry out for His help. Amen. Would you get your hymn book out? 356. 356. Let's sing together as a testimony. I cannot bear my burdens alone. Have you cried that out to God? On the second verse, will you sing it out? Sing it out as a prayer to God. All of my troubles. Thank you. Everyone on the last verse, we'll sing one more verse and we'll go home. I pray that was a help to you. Boy, it's what I need. Amen. Anybody have a word of testimony before we go home tonight? Just simply praising the Lord. Anybody want to say something for the Lord tonight? Sean? Amen. Praise the Lord. Someone else? I want to bless the Lord tonight. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. No, sir. Amen. Someone else? Sarah? Hey, ma'am. Praise the Lord. Don't miss out on a blessing. You'll regret it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God inhabits the praise of his people. Justice, will you come and dismiss us in prayer, please? God bless you. Thank you. Don't forget to sign up on the 24-hour prayer vigil sheet. If you'll do that, I would be much encouraged. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Thank you for this church where we get to freely come and worship you, Lord. Just help our hearts to be right for you, and Lord, thank you for the safety you've given us thus far. Just I ask that you give us safety as we travel home, and help all the people that may be injured from the snow and all that. Just help them, and the people that are on the call, just help them. Help them to get better, and in Jesus' name I pray, amen.